Talk Live. We are launching into the third hour of the program, and we invite you to take control of the airwaves. Bring up whatever you want. 1-855-453. That's toll-free and brought to you by SACL CAI. It's 1-855-450-3733. Joining you tonight in the studio, it's Ian.
And Derek J.
And Allie.
So we will take your calls about absolutely anything. Let's go and start with Scott, listening in Massachusetts. Scott, you're on Free Talk Live.
Good evening, Mark, Derek, and Allie. How are you?
Mark's not here. He is out on vacation this week, but yeah, it is Ian.
Doing very well, Scott.
And Scott, you are Scott the Bigot. So what's on your mind tonight? What sort of hatred have you called to spread this evening?
Well, the hatred that I have, and it is hatred, I was swindled. Did I tell you I was swindled out of $190,000?
Just today?
I was swindled out of $190,000 when Lehman Brothers went bankrupt. On September 15th, 2008, I'll never forget that day because I was informed by my broker that the money had vaporized. It was gone. And that money that was gone, I was luckily not wiped out, but I joined the ranks of millions of people on Main Street. Make no mistake about it, Wall Street has destroyed Main Street. These protesters are not punks. They're not goons. They're not scum. They have legitimate grievances. And if their grievances aren't met, there is going to be a revolution in this country. I have an outline you already know where I stand with Jewish bankers. And these are like...
About the Jews. I wanted to predict it, but
Wait a minute. Wait, Scott, hold on a second. I want to take a quick assessment here with my co-host, because you guys kind of got the ball rolling being co-hosts on the show while I was in jail for 2 months. So it's actually our first show together, which I'm, I'm enjoying quite a bit, as
awesome.
A matter of fact. But I'm wondering, have either of you ever talked to Scott the Bigot before on the radio?
Scott, I've heard you plenty of times, but I haven't been able to speak to you directly, so this is a pleasure.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're getting pleasure out of Scott's call. It's
I do.
Unusual.
I like it.
So, okay, so Scott, I'm a little confused. You mentioned it sounds like you're in support of the protests.
Absolutely.
But
absolutely.
Even though there's people of color at the other protests?
That. It's a populist movement.
So wait, now haven't you predicted in the past that this, all of the anger and frustration of this country is going to boil over into some sort of a racial civil war? Do you still believe that's true?
I believe it is true, but before it goes into a racial civil war, it's probably what I see now is going to erupt into a class war, class warfare. That doesn't mean to say that there won't be a racial war down the road.
Now,
but as for
have
now,
you
it's
actually
going to
been
erupt into class conflict.
I see what you're saying there, and one could say that the 99% versus the 1% might just be something like that. But nonetheless, my question is in regards to your observation of these protests. You live in Massachusetts. It probably wouldn't be a big deal for you to head to Boston. Maybe you live in Boston. I don't know where you live. But have you actually been out of your home and gone to one of these events?
No, I have not. I've been.
Okay.
I don't have the time, and I mean
Wait
that.
A
I may
minute.
Have the time.
What are you
to
doing
call.
With your time?
What's that?
What are you doing with your time? What's a day
chores.
Like in Scott's day?
I do a lot of chores.
Her mom. Doing chores.
I knew
for mom.
You were going to say that about my. You know, my mom is ill.
I shouldn't laugh.
No, no. I want to set the record straight. I take care of my mother. I'm very proud of that. She's disabled. You could call it a mama's boy or whatever you call it, but that's irregardless.
I'm not going to make fun of you.
I wouldn't call it that. That's great, Scott.
I'm very proud that I take care of my mom, and I want to say something.
But wait, you don't get to leave the house at all?
No, I get to leave the house. But
how long would it take you to drive to Boston for a protest?
I could be there within an hour.
Within an hour. All right.
Yeah.
So you couldn't take 4 hours out of your week and go down there and spend 2 hours on the road and 2 hours at the protest?
Yes, I could. I know what you're saying. You got to make time. I'd like to make some posters. One of the posters that I would have is I would have a picture of I try to get a picture, if not of Lloyd Blankfein of Goldman Sachs.
Right.
I'd have big posters: Lloyd Blankfein, Goldman Sachs, Alan Schwartz, Bear Stearns, Jamie Dimon, J.P. Morgan.
I don't know who any of those.
Yeah,
no.
Jamie Dimon's a real crook. I'm with you on all those names, Scott.
And I would have an under all of the names, I would say, These international Jewish bankers have destroyed the American economy.
You know, Scott, I have a few suggestions if you really don't like minorities. What you should start proposing, higher taxes, affirmative action, raise the minimum wage, all these things are really great ways to stick it to the minorities.
I would hope that instead of encouraging Scott to stick it to the minorities, that we could encourage him to meet some of them.
Well, these are all things that that people think that they help poor people.
True.
But, Scott, if you look at the economics, and these things would really be, you know, they are devastating towards minorities. And, you know,
racism, basically,
right.
These policies. Whether they were intended to be racist policies is a question up for speculation, but the ultimate result of these policies is essentially divisive. And,
you know what irritates me? The police, I hate. I've hated the police for a long time because, personally speaking, getting a ticket or whatever, when you have a man with a badge and you have a man with a gun and you have a man with a uniform, he has the most power that you could ever imagine. I learned a long time, gentlemen, that he could knock on your door. He could arrest you so fast it would make your head spin.
I can relate. I can empathize with you on this, Scott. But I've moved past my hatred, and I've moved to the understanding that these are people, and they have feelings, and they have families, and they have wants and needs, just like any other human being out there, and that maybe they've been lied to. Maybe they've been lied to a lot. Maybe they're confused. I try to look at the police with a much more compassionate, empathetic viewpoint. I don't want to be in their shoes, but I can try to understand what it's like to be in their shoes and attempt to bring the ideas of liberty to them as well. So here's my suggestion for you, Scott, because I really, really want you to come to the understanding someday that people are just people, and they're different. And individuals should be, if you're going to judge someone, they should be judged on their own merits as an individual, what they believe, what they say, what their actions are, not the color of their skin, not their religious inclination, not for whom they are employed, by whom they are employed. And I think that maybe if you went down to the Boston, Occupy Boston protests and brought, bring an anti-cop sign. Don't do the Jewish banker thing because then you're going to be seen as a racist and that is what you are. But, just to kind of bring something that maybe is going to gel a little better with the people down there.
Absolutely. But Ian, then when he brings, he's going to be wearing his cop black shirt and down there and he's going to be, perceived as one of these, a liberty lover, and then he's going to start talking, and people are going to be like, all these people are a bunch of racists, and just confirm.
I didn't suggest he wear a cop block, anything. I was suggesting he just make up an anti-police sign. Just because you're anti-police doesn't mean you're a liberty lover. So, bring an anti-police sign down there and start talking to people and listening more than anything else. Ask some questions, maybe, and try not to ask them about the Jewish bankers. Try to keep away from race-related questioning and just ask people why they're there and what they think and just kind of get to know some people. And maybe you'll actually have some positive experiences with people who don't look just like you.
Could I leave your audience with a thought tonight?
Go for it.
I look at America tonight, and in a nutshell, but cut it through all the BS. America is at a crossroads. It's been destroyed. It's either going to go capitalism, I hate. I hate democracy. I hate equality. I would go for fascism if I could. Then you come to another crossroads.
We have fascism. You're winning.
Benito Mussolini's fascism is in Italy, or Adolf Hitler's National Socialism is in Germany.
Then you must love the arrests in Boston.
I see America being destroyed by three forces: international Jewish capitalism.
He hates the police, but he loves fascism and socialism
or communism, and international Jewish Zionism.
Scott, you're so confused, and thank you for the call. Appreciate hearing from you at 855-450-FREE. Hates the police.
I want to know if he's going to occupy the courtrooms. If he's so close to Boston, Scott, go out to those courtrooms and occupy them.
He's not going to Boston. 1-855-450-FREE, because then he might encounter blacks and Hispanics that are actually friendly and nice to him, and it'll shatter his viewpoint of his worldview. More on the way. You can take control of the airwaves and bring up anything, even if you're a little nuts. It's Free Talk Live.
And now it's time for the Leadership Radio Minute, with tips and advice on how to maximize your own leadership potential. Here's international leadership expert and New York Times bestselling author, John C. Maxwell.
Each person has a lid on his or her leadership potential because we are not all equally gifted. Have you done everything in your power to reach your maximum potential? The single greatest hindrance to a leader's growth is positional thinking. Anytime you think you've arrived, whether your position is the lowest or the highest in an organization, you've started to lower your expectation for yourself. You can't arrive and keep growing at the same time. Be willing to forget about titles and position. Instead, focus on your potential. That removes barriers to your growth. Only then can you expand your leadership toward your potential and become the best leader you can be. For the Leadership Radio Minute, I'm John C. Maxwell.
For more information on how to maximize your own leadership potential, please visit johnmaxwell.com. True leadership isn't a matter of having a certain job or title. In fact, being chosen for a position is only the first of the five levels every effective leader achieves. In his new book, The Five Levels of Leadership, leadership expert and New York Times bestselling author John C. Maxwell helps you to become more than the boss people follow only because they're required to. He gives advice on how to grow further, achieve results, and build a team that produces. The Five Levels of Leadership, the newest book from John C. Maxwell, is available wherever books are sold.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Nestle Tollhouse Morsels, helping you create special moments and memories your family will cherish forever. Visit us at tollhouse.com. You may bake for birthdays and holidays, but why stop there? Sweeten up the rest of the year by designating monthly dessert days. Treat your family to one of their favorites or surprise them with something new. Either way, you'll create a tradition everyone will love. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
Dr. Joe Wallach is not your typical doctor. Both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician, Dr. Wallach asks, why does America spend more money on healthcare by far and yet ranks 50th in health and longevity worldwide? The doctor believes that people should be empowered with a basic understanding of nutrition, then take charge of their life to attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects, requiring more toxic prescription drugs. Talk about being dependent on drug companies, to our own destruction no less. This is clearly a deadly recipe. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the government and big pharma manipulation of our healthcare system. I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people and have joined forces to help this tireless crusader spread his message. Visit GCNminerals.com and listen to Dr. Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I invite you to join the GCN Minerals team. Go to GCNminerals.com. That's GCNminerals.com.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. Dial in, toll free, bring up anything. The number for you, 1-855-450-FREE. That's toll-free, brought to you by SACL CAI, 855-450-3733. Joining you tonight, it's Ian.
And Derek J.
And Allie.
We invite you to our website, freetalklive.com. We've got a mobile site, so perhaps you have a smartphone. You'd like to get quick access to our live streams and our podcast. All you have to do is go to m.freetalklive.com. That's M as in mobile. freetalklive.com. Now, coming up October 19th, it's going to be a big day if all goes as planned, and you can help it go as planned by visiting blackthisout.com. to become part of the largest grassroots donation effort in history and show the establishment that it is we, the people, not the media, that will be deciding the future of this country. It's the first step in getting the government out of your life and out of the economy. So visit blackthisout.com today and prepare yourself for October 19th. And let the media know that you won't stand by and just let your freedom be blacked out. That's blackthisout.com. Of course, we'll take your calls about absolutely anything. News out of Falls Church, Virginia, according to WTOP.com. It seemed like a great idea. Build a treehouse on his property for two growing boys. But for one local man, it's turning into a big, expensive lesson in government red tape. Mark Grapin thought his two sons would love the treehouse. And you can't see the photo here, but it's a very cute little treehouse. It's got a little slide that the kids can go down on the front. There's a stepladder in the back. And, you know, it's got kind of a wooden look to it with some yellow trim on it. It's a nice little...
cute little windows and everything.
Yeah, what kid wouldn't like a treehouse like this? And so he built it. In fact, he, like a good little citizen did, called Fairfax County before starting to find out what the rules were for the neighborhood in which he lives in Falls Church. And he says that the guy in the building permits department laughed me off the phone. He was told it's a treehouse, and so therefore it's not built to any code. So he figured, well, cool, I can just go ahead and build my treehouse. Bureaucrat on the phone said, it's no problem.
Right. That's what I would think.
Yeah, unfortunately, if a bureaucrat tells you something, it may not be the truth. Now, it may not be because the bureaucrat's lying. It may just be because they don't know.
Yeah, there are so many rules. How could any of them know what all the rules are? I'm sure he just thought it's a treehouse. Who cares?
He probably thinks the system he works under is reasonable.
As reasonable as he might be, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's never good enough to just believe what they're going to tell you, which means that you never really know for sure. Like, one of them says one thing, but another one could say something else. So how many of them are you supposed to ask before you go about your project? How many hoops are you supposed to jump through?
All of them.
Right, apparently. That's what you have to do, because he went ahead and got it done. He went to the home improvement store, bought $1,400 worth of supplies, spent 6 weekends worth of time building this treehouse. It has red clapboard siding, shingles, a slide, a pull-down ladder, two climbing ropes, closed windows, and shutters. It's wrapped around the tree but stands free, not touching the tree, and it stands to the side of his house. Now, Grapin says his immediate neighbors had no complaints, but someone did complain anonymously to Fairfax County. Grapin was told he had to treat it like an addition to his house and get a zoning variance. He spent more than $1,800 getting the proper forms and going through a hearing.
Oh, my. Money to get forms?
Right. Just to jump through the hoops to get a hearing, he had to pay $1,800 for all the forms and whatever the fee is to apply for, you know, the variance. Because he's applying, he's asking the great gods at the city or the county council to change the zoning on his piece of property. This is apparently a big to-do.
So more than the price of the treehouse just to get
correct
the forms to get the proper permission to use this, right?
That's correct.
Oh, my God.
But it doesn't end there, of course. The home sits on a corner lot, and Zoning Board Chairman John Ribble says that means what Grapin thought was a side lot is actually the front lot, and so therefore the variance was rejected. So chalk up $1,800 in cost to apply for the variance, and then in a good FU from the city government or county government to say, yeah, no thanks.
Oh, my gosh. That is unreal.
Well, I'm sure it's refundable, right? I mean, they're not going to make
those
forms that I have no use for now.
I only wish.
Man says he does have an appeal scheduled for November 30th, which means he gets to appeal to the same board that rejected him. And if he loses
that,
he will have to remove the treehouse.
He'll have to take it down.
Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't say what happens here, but if it's like any other place that I've ever read about, including our very own Pretty Little Keene, if you violate some sort of zoning ordinance, the typical thing they do is fine you for every single day of the violation. So he could leave it up, and then they'll hit him with $200 a day or something like that.
This could potentially be jail time for a man who built a treehouse for his two growing kids. If he pushed it to the limit where he said, no, excuse me, I paid all this money to build the thing, did it myself on my own property, then paid even more money than that, which I spent on building it, to fill out forms, I would have to leave the city or keep it up and just stay and say, I'm sorry, you'll have to come arrest me.
No, little Jimmy and Sarah are just going to have to pay rent to use the treehouse.
Usually.
You know, and pay the fine every day.
$100 a day, $500 a day, who knows what it is, but it's going to be outrageous and it's going to add up quickly. But Derek, he probably won't go to jail because usually these kinds of... call them civil issues, because it won't be a criminal case that'll be brought against him. It's essentially, since it's zoning, they'll find him in violation, and they'll say, all right, we're starting the counter. You're going to get fined this amount per day. And the longer he waits, at some point they'll tally up these numbers, and they'll put a lien on his property, which will mean that eventually they'll keep liening his property, and at some point they'll get to the point where the amount of the liens is enough for them to take the property from him, likely, because he won't be able to pay enough taxes. He won't be able to pay it off at some point. And if he doesn't pay it off, they'll just take the property from him. So then the only way for him to go to jail would be to continue to occupy the property as a squatter, because he believes he owns his house. They'll consider him a squatter, and they'll come and they'll evict him. If he doesn't want to go, then he could be arrested.
Does this situation have the illusion of legitimacy to anyone?
Great question. That's what the government wants. They want you to believe they're out there to protect you.
Right. They're saying, this is totally legitimate. Excuse me, Mr. Treehouse Builder, but we're the people who protect you, and you need to pay up, because that's what we do. So if he doesn't believe that, then shoot. They don't look legitimate to me. I don't see how they could look.
More homeless people. More.
Well, right. You can kick somebody out of their home, so then they can, what, go on welfare? Is that the idea, when you take somebody's home from them?
Well,
it's just crazy.
Hopefully they'll become dependent, and then they'll just be little, they'll just feed into anything you say.
And what message is this sending to the kids? I mean, this is a situation that does involve kids. The treehouse was built for them.
I'm glad you asked that question, because that's the very end of the piece here. They have a quote from this man.
What is it?
They ask, well, he talks about how if he doesn't, for instance, if he doesn't win this appeal, that he's going to have to remove the treehouse. And so they ask, well, if that happens, what will he tell his kids? And we'll tell you in a moment here what he's going
to
tell his kids.
I'd love to know.
1-855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. Have you ever had to deal with this zoning nonsense? Share your story. It's Free Talk Live.
Life Before the Collapse. Vinyl LP by the Las Vegas. Before the Collapse, Vinyl LP by the Las Vegas. Life Before the Collapse by the Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Why
don't want it? On 180 grand vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Now available at Amazon.com.
Jason Lewis here. We talk daily about all the crazy stuff happening around the world. Concerns with the economy, job loss, and natural disasters, just to name a few. Let me ask you, what are you doing to be prepared? How will you provide for your family in an emergency? Well, for my preparation, I recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious, ready-made, freeze-dry meals that carry a 25-year shelf life, and you prepare them in minutes by simply adding water. Wise Food Storage entrees are packaged in individual metal Mylar pouches, then stored in convenient grab-and-go plastic containers for freshness and easy transport. Go to wisefoodstorage.com today to request a free entree sample. And for a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get free shipping on any order. Call 855-FOOD-WISE. That's 855-366-3947. Or visit WISEFoodStorage.com. WISEFoodStorage.com. Gourmet emergency food at the best price.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll-free at 1-855-453. That is brought to you by SACL CAI, that toll-free number, 1-855-450-3733. You can join us on our website as well at freetalklive.com. Enjoy the webcam. You can watch, you can listen, and you can interact. The chat room is built into the same page. Just go to cam.freetalklive.com to experience that. It's completely free, like the rest of our website, cam.freetalklive.com. We are talking about the illegal treehouse that a man built for his sons, thinking that after having talked to one bureaucrat who said, it's no big deal, it's not an actual house, so it's not doesn't need to be built any code, so go ahead, you have my blessing, build this treehouse. Well, he did that, spent $1,400 and 6 weekends worth of his time to build what is a very beautiful treehouse, but unfortunately someone complained, allegedly, to the Fairfax County government, and they decided that it's an addition on his home. Even though it is in no way, shape, or form connected to his home, they considered it an addition to his home, and therefore he needs to get a zoning variance, which cost him more than $1,800 just to prepare for by getting the forms and going through a hearing, which they ended up rejecting his variance. So they cashed his checks for $1,800 and then told him to go F off. He has an appeal scheduled, but if he loses the appeal, he's going to have the treehouse demolished and removed from his property. So if that happens, what will he tell his kids? This is what WTOP, who's reporting on the situation, asked him. Well, here's his answer. Daddy makes mistakes. We tried our best. I made a mistake by not knowing enough.
Oh, Mike. Is that the end of his statement?
That's it.
So, who knows the answers, Daddy?
Government does, kids.
Okay. Like, what? That's insane.
Isn't it sad?
That's really sad.
But this is how people have become. This is how sad so many people are when it comes to their relationship with the government. The answer is not, well, kids, the government's a gang of criminals, and they've threatened me with, stealing our home from us if we don't do what they say, and I'm too afraid to really stand up to them, kids, so, what you should learn from all this is that daddy's a coward. Now, that's I'm being mean. Really, I don't blame anybody for knuckling under this pressure.
Yeah, but even if you were honest about that and saying, look, I'm afraid of what these people are going to do to me.
That's what it is.
You can say that to your kids, and I think you... I would
that's
encourage people to do that, because that is honest.
I'm afraid. I'm afraid of them stealing my home from me. That's why I'm still paying property taxes. I'm going to admit, I admit to that on the air. That's cowardice on my part.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and... so many other people are cowering as well out there for fear of what these people calling themselves the government will do to them.
Well, I think people like this gentleman who built the treehouse don't know how many of us there are who would support him if he were to go all the way and claim that he owns the property that he lives on and that he owns the treehouse and he's not going to demolish it no matter what anyone says because it's not hurting anybody.
Well, I would certainly support somebody like that, but when you say support, like, what do you mean?
Well, I would say that I assume this gentleman feels too alone, that he doesn't have anyone in his community who's going to stand up and say, excuse me, government bureaucrats, but what you're doing is wrong. And I will shame you. I mean, all I'm asking for is shaming here, just ostracism of the government bureaucrats. Let them know when you're seeing them in the shopping centers, hey, man, that is not okay what you're doing to John Doe over there.
That's
the kind of support that I would want to see in his community.
Well, it reminds me of, I guess, a couple of weeks ago, I was in Central Square, Keene, and me and some of my friends were talking to a police officer who decided to camp, or not camp out, but stand there and watch guard, basically. And they have this silly rule in Keene where you can't ride your bike through Central Square.
Right, no biking on sidewalks.
Right. So there are a couple times when these guys come by on their bikes and the cop just snap his fingers, hey, you. And the fear in these people's eyes, like... they didn't, like, they thought they were going to be shot or something. I don't know what they thought, but it was, an immediate, like, fearful, oh, I'm so sorry, officer, I'm so sorry, I'll never, it's just...
a Pavlovian response,
yeah.
Right, where they're just, oh my gosh, the guy with the badge and the fine hat.
I don't want a ticket.
Right, yeah. But people on bikes, that just shocks me that anyone stops for an officer when you're on a bike. You can definitely get away down a back alley or down a street somewhere that they couldn't chase you. You can always get away on a bike. I encourage you to do that.
I don't suggest trying to get away.
Well, you don't have to, but I will.
Okay. All right.
You are a ballsy dude, Derek J.
Your arrest is not in my hands.
You're going to give those guys an excuse to bust you up if you run away from them.
If you run away from them, they will... okay, I can't generalize. Many cops will not feel bad or remorseful at first for shooting someone who's running away from them.
I expect them to fail. I mean,
they probably are terrible shots, but yeah. If there's 15 of them shooting at you...
I don't know the statistics.
I don't know if they're going to be likely to pull a gun if somebody's just biking on a sidewalk.
If you try to run from them,
they're just going to try and chase you down, either on foot or in their car. And there are places that police cars just can't go, down some back alleys or down the wrong way on a one-way street. They're not going to be able to chase you if you're on a bike. I mean, more people need bikes. If you don't like the police, carry a camera and ride a bike.
You ride a bike. I don't, so you may know more than I do. But I just... the thought of running from police officers is, I am a coward about running from police officers. I will not do it.
That's why I say carry a camera, because you don't know what's going to happen until you do it. And then you can show the world what really happens when you refuse to stop for the man with the fine hat.
So what was he supposed to do in this case with the treehouse? He says daddy makes mistakes. Well, what was the mistake?
To not go
to every single government bureaucracy and inquire with every, like you said, every single bureaucrat to find out?
But he did ask.
So yeah, somebody.
I think that was disingenuous of him to say that daddy makes mistakes. No, this guy, who he called at City Hall or whatever, that's the one who made the mistake. He got the answer from the government official.
Well, it's like, the nanny state. guy's got his kids, and then he has his own set of parents, and they're the state, and he has to follow what they say and submit to them because they have the authority, and he's just, you know, powerless under them.
Right. Big brother is everyone's parent.
It reminds me of the parents who just knuckle under whenever the so-called authorities come after their kid's lemonade stand. And instead of doing the right thing, which you've actually seen, there was one story of a mom who basically continued in the face of the threats of the police. She told her daughters to keep going and to keep, you know, she helped them continue to operate their lemonade stand, even though that they were coming after her for them. It's very rare that you'll find parents that are willing to encourage their kids to engage in non-cooperation. And God, it's just so sad to think that this guy has to destroy what is essentially a beautiful creation simply because some board of arbitrary bureaucrats, strangers, people like he probably doesn't know anyone who's on this zoning commission, that these people get to sit in control of whether or not his kids get to enjoy a time-honored tradition of being a child in America, and that is having a treehouse to play in.
Now, I would encourage these young individuals for whom the treehouse was built to occupy the treehouse if if the government bureaucrats ever came to say, you have to take this down. It would send a strong message if the kids took ownership of this, because it really isn't the guy who built it, right? He gifted it to his children. It's not like he says, oh, that's my treehouse out there in the backyard.
Right.
That's the kids. So
yeah, he's not going to be playing in it.
Right. So if the kids are occupying this treehouse, I think that the public will, and the bureaucrats will, have a different point of view.
Well, usually when the news gets involved in a case like this, it brings some pressure on the bureaucracy because most people see this. As you said, who could look at this and say this is legitimate for the government to do this? Most people will look at this and they'll say this is pretty outrageous, and usually that's the only thing that changes how the government people behave in these cases, is the public outrage that might come out of this. But it's sad that these things happen all the time, and if they don't get the news coverage, if they don't, you know, if they're not getting the public outrage, then it's just people having their rights and their freedoms just trampled upon and just putting their head down and saying, oh,
walk all over me.
Sorry.
Daddy made a mistake.
1-855-450-FREE. That's the toll-free number. You bring up anything, even in these remaining moments, you can take control of the airwaves. This is Free Talk Live.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tattler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tattler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tattler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning, and contain no BPA. Tattler lids are dishwasher-safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tattler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
With economic and job-based stress now the leading cause of illness, is your body ready for the hard times ahead?
Music. This is Bill Hyde with a special report on staying healthy in hard times. According to a new article in the London Telegraph, job stress associated with the economic downturn has now replaced cancer, stroke, heart attack, and back problems as the number one reason people miss work. In fact, it's now being called the Black Death of our time. This means taking care of your body could be the single most important thing you do, especially in these hard economic times. Recently, we've created a video which you can watch online for free, detailing how to make sure your body is ready for the dangerous times we live in. You can find the video at longtermgreen.com. That's longtermgreen.com. Get your body ready for the hard times ahead by watching the free video at longtermgreen.com. The video's available at longtermgreen.com.
Take the first step in home security. Install the Door Sentinel. Standard locks, deadbolts, and security systems can't prevent forced entry. The Door Sentinel provides door kick-in protection and can be added to your existing security system. The Door Sentinel is easy to install and will turn your home into a fortress. Make the call. 678-648-6757. That's 678-648-6757. Or visit them at SENTINEL securitygroup.com. SentinelSecurityGroup.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. The toll-free number for you. Even in these remaining moments, we have enough time for you and your thoughts at 1-855-453. That's 855-450-3733. Joining you this evening, it's Ian.
Derek J.
And Allie.
And we invite you to the website at freetalklive.com. You can help Free Talk Live by becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier over at amp.freetalklive.com. And I'm all caught up. I thought it might take longer than it did. It took me a couple of days worth of work to catch up with basically 2 months worth of people signing up and for the AMP program while I was in jail. So I've got that all caught up, and you get your perks like access to the AMP only call in lines, the AMP only forum, and more. Get the details over at amp.freetalklive.com. And what happens with the $3 a month? That's all we ask for the AMP program. What happens with it is we reinvest it into the show. So to help Free Talk Live get on more radio stations around the country, to bring more internet listeners on board, and therefore expose new people to the ideas of freedom. That's what AMP's all about. It doesn't go to paychecks or anything like that. Amp.freetalklive.com as we go to the phones and the fun. We've got Nick in Illinois on one of those AMP lines. Hello, Nick.
Hi. I'd like to put on my devil's advocate hat for a moment about that illegal treehouse.
This is the man who built his spent $1,400 and 6 weeks worth of or six weekends worth of time building a treehouse that he thought was completely legal. Turns out someone complains, the county government comes after him. He tries to get a zoning variance, spends $1,800 in fees attempting to get the variance, had the variance rejected, and now faces having to remove the treehouse if his appeal fails.
Yeah, well, I can imagine a statist arguing that quite simply, regardless of the terms used, people really don't own their land. The municipal government owns the land, and so it can kick you off if you don't obey the rules. What do you say to that?
Well, that is absolutely what a statist would argue, and I would say that, if you've got someone who is advocating the viewpoint that the government actually owns everything, that is the correct viewpoint. I mean, by all evidence, that's the way things operate, that's how they behave, and all of the rest of us act as though that's true, so it might as well be true. Although if you actually ask the government people who owns a particular piece of property, they will insist that it's you if you're the alleged owner, and they'll never admit to actually being the ones who own everything. So in theory, at least, we should all own our own property, and of course, ownership means the right to control something. So therefore, the idea that a group of zoning bureaucrats can decide for me whether or not my kids get to have a treehouse is quite the insult.
Well, I actually have an opinion about this. I agree with homesteading theory. From what I understand, it's seems to be that someone who makes use of land is the owner. If you're using land and, you know, isn't being used by anyone else, it's not being, you know, it's not the owned by anyone else, I'm sorry, then it's your land. So I think the government is an idea and it's an illusion. And mm-hmm. So maybe legally it's their land in some fashion, but I think legitimately it is the person who is making use of the land is the owner.
Well, Nick, I'd like to ask you, you were playing devil's advocate. I would ask, do you own yourself?
Well, one thing at a time. I just got a whole slew of
fair
input there. Number one regards the term ownership. Now, maybe a statist could argue, well, you libertarians are just using the term ownership differently. When we say ownership, we're talking about actually what you would call a form of, I don't know, licensing. You know, we allow you to be on this land because that's certainly how they act.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, as to what Ali said, I think some would argue, well, you know, way back in time when people formed this government, they contracted the true ownership of their land to that government.
Which, of course, there's no evidence for that. None whatsoever.
Well, maybe there are in some places if you go back far enough. Hard to say. And then what did you say, Derek?
Well, you were saying, what would I say to a statist who made the claims that you made when you first started speaking? And I would say, do you own yourself?
What do you mean by own?
Well,
property
maybe
is theft.
That's something maybe that's something we can talk about. But you were asking about owning land, and I think that you can only own land if you own yourself, so that you can have an extension of your private property, what you mix your labor with nature.
Lockean homesteading theory, by the way, seems to have been superseded in the libertarian literature by Stephen Kinsella's better title theory, because one of the problems with Lockean homesteading theory is that it's also the principle behind intellectual property. And I think those two are incompatible.
I don't think that intellectual property is property, and I don't think that the same things apply to it that physical property would.
Right, because ideas can be copied without loss to the original idea. And there's no shortage of ideas either. Like with property, there's a very finite amount of it. There's scarcity.
Right, scarcity is the word.
So what is this other theory that Kinsella has put forth? Can you say, what's it called again?
Better title theory. I'm still busy understanding it myself, but it's based on the idea that property rights are relative rather than absolute, meaning that he's a lawyer, and so he's seen some really some of those edge cases that really break the rules and sort of reveal what the real underlying principles are. And sometimes when people have a property dispute, the way to settle it is to see who has a better title, and there are all these criteria. One of them is first possession, which is sort of like, it's pretty much the homesteading, rule, but without the quasi-mystical element to it that, you know, mixing your labor with it gives you property to it. Stephen Kinsella's argument against that, which I've read recently, is, first of all, how does that prove that mixing your labor with something causes you to own it, as opposed to causing you to lose ownership of your labor the same way you lose ownership of your spit when you spit into the ocean? And secondly, one reason why we know that mixing your labor with something does not mean you own it is, let's say that you steal someone's hunk of metal and then you carve a statue out of it. Do you now own that statue because you've mixed your labor with it? No, the original owner who owns that material is the one who owns it.
Sure, and the homesteading principle doesn't address, as Mark brought up recently, the idea of someone who wants to keep property pristine, who wants to own property simply for the purpose of not touching it. So
yes, that was excellent, and that I would have called in to suggest that, but Mark got to it, and I was glad.
How does Kinsella address that one?
I haven't gotten to that part yet. I'm still reading a very long PDF on his property rights theories.
I mean, if you think about it, if you buy property, even if you're not using it, then the money that you use to buy it it comes from your labor, right? Or someone's labor.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, that's how you make money most of the time. So it's sort of like mix. I don't know. Maybe it's a jump. But.
Well, it sounds like it would take some labor to get that homesteader off of your pristine property. So and maybe you would be like reinstating your ownership by using whatever you needed to persuasion. I would hope to get the person off.
I usually just say that the market will figure this out because I don't know, you know, I don't know exactly how this would end up panning out.
But it's fun to theorize.
It is, and thankfully we have brilliant minds like Stefan Kinsella to write up 50-page PDFs on these topics.
Yeah, Ali, did you suggest that a person who lives on and uses the land should be the rightful owner of it? But then what about, you know, people who are renters on that land, essentially, like assuming that we did have a proper private owner who then rented out that land?
Well, actually, I was sort of thinking about that when you were talking, and I guess I don't quite understand homesteading theory, but I liked what I heard when I heard it described to me. But you're right, that is something that creates complications. I don't know I'm sure the people that still advocate for homesteading or like the idea of homesteading as a form of determining whose property it is have had to, you know, come into, they've heard of renting
property. Well, right, and when you're renting a property, you would agree that any improvements you make would become the owner's, not the tenant's. So
right.
That would be something.
I don't think contracts are void or anything like that. Just because you're using a piece of property doesn't mean that you own it if you've contracted with the owner.
Right. Sometimes if I've got a tenant who wants to, say, make a change to their house, obviously they have to run it by me, and frequently I'll pay for like the materials or something like that. And if they, you know, as long as you're willing to do the work, if you want to paint your room pink, for instance, you know, fine, whatever, go ahead. As long as I'm all right with that, you can do the labor. I'll pay for the materials, or you know, maybe they want to do both. It just all depends on what the tenant comes up with as far as an agreement with the landlord is concerned.
But, well, one last thing, because time is short. So it sounds to me like a lot of this hinges on who is really the legitimate owner of the land, because I think that we would agree that if the municipality was a club that actually did legitimately own the land, then these rules would be just and they would have the right to evict this person.
Right, in which case you would have actually consented to the rules of the club, which of course no one actually ends up doing because no one can possibly even read the rules when they buy a home. Thanks, Nick, for the call. We're out of time tonight, but back tomorrow online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. Are you looking for a concealed carry holster? Crossbreed Holsters is the home of the world-famous Super Tuck, the most comfortable concealed carry holster on the market today. Try one out and see how truly discreet and comfortable carrying concealed can be. And find out why we call it the ugliest holster you'll ever love. We are the standard others try to imitate.
Get the original. Get your Super Tuck at crossbreedholsters.com. Again, that's crossbreedholsters.com.
The Ruger LC9, compact, powerful, and perfect for personal protection. The LC9 is only slightly larger than the popular Ruger LCP, features a checkered grip frame to provide a secure and comfortable grip, and includes a finger grip extension floor plug. The LC9 also has a dovetailed high-visibility 3-dot sight system, blued alloy steel barrel, manual safety, and loaded chamber indicator. The LC9, another innovative American-made product from Ruger. Learn more about the Ruger LC9 at Ruger.com/LC9.